Hey, it's the Carolyn and Joe Show.
Hey.
We're back with Matt.
Hey, Matt.
Hey.
Hey, Matt, how you doing today?
I feel like a creepy uncle.
A creepy uncle. Let me actually check in which and what day is today. I always forget what the date is. It is actually the 26th. Halloween is this weekend.
Hey. It's the 26th. It's Monday.
Oh, I mean, no, it's 27th.
It is.
It's the 27th.
Whoa. When's Thanksgiving?
I don't know. Hey, but Halloween is this weekend, man.
Who was that we just heard?
What we're listening to right
now? The Pipettes?
Yeah.
This is the Pipettes.
The Pipettes, eh?
Yes.
It's a UK band that has broken up now. Or
okay.
It is not the same.
This is the perfect time to start listening to it, man.
No, it's one of those bands that, like, they
have
keep on...
interchangeable lead singers.
Yeah, but so it's one of those things where it's like
they've changed multiple times.
Yeah. I guess you broke up, but then you get new singers, but you're still called the same band.
Like
yeah.
Journey.
Yeah, I guess
had, like
Journey.
10 singers.
I read something online that they have like one main manager guy, and then he just like fills the slots as accordingly. Like whenever they want to leave, then he'll just find a new girl.
So he's the band.
Yeah, he's basically the
kind of.
But he doesn't do any. He's the manager. He's the.
I don't know if he's a.
I don't know
what his exact job title is, but he just organized them.
I thought it was him and like the girl Gwen,
Stefani.
Yeah,
no.
Gwen Stefani.
Paltrow.
No.
It's one
Gwen-o.
Of the two.
It's one of those.
Her name is Gwen-o.
Stacy.
But I actually like them. Actually, I don't even know how I found out about the Pipettes.
I don't
that's
know.
The name of the band, right? Oh yeah,
the Pipettes.
Because that's the name of the, that's how the song sounds.
I like it.
I like it.
I'm trying to figure out if that's their name. I guess it is
the Pipettes.
I'm just trying to remember.
We are the Pipettes.
Yeah, they try to do like sort of a, you know, what was the band, that, other bands that had like the Ets at the end of them, but it's like a modern.
Like the Ikets?
Yeah, like them, sort of like that trio. And thus we also have a book called The Legettes. So
we have a book called The Legettes, but it's non-related.
Yes. Non-related.
Actually, I thought of The Legettes before I heard of The Pipettes.
Hey, man, like, Halloween just, like, totally, like, snuck up.
Yeah.
So do you have any plans for Halloween, man?
Do you have any spooky music?
Is it on the 31st or the what? Or the 30th?
Halloween?
31st normally, right?
Yeah, 31st.
Yeah, it's one of those...
October 31st, the last day of October.
Yeah.
Ooh.
Ooh, this is...
This is spooky.
I guess.
Creepy.
It's not as creepy as if you hear this first song. But do you have any good like Halloween? I guess we should do a Halloween theme show. I guess.
Yeah.
It'll make sense now.
What's today again?
Today is the 27th.
Today is the 27th.
Or this is coming out on the 27th.
That was a crazy weekend that we just had.
I know, right? That was fast.
Yeah. Man, wow, I just blew right.
It just went zoomed
time warp
right out of that.
Huh.
Wait, Matt, didn't you have one more story from last week to tell?
You know what?
yeah, let's go back to that.
I think it was my other mistaken identity
This
story.
Is from Baltimore Comic Con of this year?
So
Baltimore Comic Con of 2009.
So yes. So basically every year you go to the Baltimore Comic Con, you have mistaken identity, correct?
Yeah. Yeah. And
it's,
I don't
it's
know.
It's an annual thing.
it is, much like the convention. In fact, you cannot have the convention without me... making an ass out of myself.
That's great, dude.
Yeah. So this year it was, we were approaching the David Mack table. David Mack,
was I there for this?
You know what? I think I said it to you. Said the line to you. And we're approaching the David Mack table, and of course David Mack, cover artist, interior artist, does, Daredevil.
There's Kabuki as well.
Kabuki creator. Creator of Kabuki. Creator is not the name of the series.
No, that'd be a great name of a book, though, if you think about it. Creator.
Yeah.
Creator.
I think, created
by.
I think that should be the name of your creator. Book right here, man. It'd be called Creator.
Creator. And
well, look it up. If that's not taken, I think you should take that, right?
Yeah.
At this very moment.
I could just draw 6-year-olds with Legos, and it'll be Creator.
Creator.
And
by
then,
Matt Fedor.
And then those Legos are actually people, but the 6-year-old doesn't know it.
Just like the Ender's Game.
Exactly. Wow. All right, we're gonna delete this one.
We're gonna take it back.
Yeah. No one.
Are you saying no one's gonna know who that?
No. I said what?
So basically, we're at David Mack's table.
We're at David Mack's table, and he's a phenomenal artist who uses multimedia, mixes anything he can find. However, I forgot David Mack was an artist, And I thought he was Dave McKean, who also likes to mix things.
Dave McKean, the guy who works with Neil Gaiman. And
Dave McKean, Arkham Asylum.
Yeah.
Actually created Coraline.
I mean, his work is just as good.
His work is, you know, it's funny. Like, his Coraline work is so simple, and yet he can have something so multi-layered as the Arkham Asylum stuff.
Yeah.
So, you know, immediately as I'm walking by, I just look at the Daredevil stuff. And I think I elbowed or nudged you or something. And I was like, oh my god, they've got Dave McKean stuff here. And it's like, no.
I was like, you mean Dave Mack?
In my mind, it's... And then you were like, I wonder if David will talk to us. And I looked at... I guess he had... Must have had like a placard or something. I don't think it was a name tag. But it quite evident, apparently said David Mack. And at that point, I remembered he's the guy who illustrated my 900 some odd page, or maybe it was like 600 page Daredevil omnibus.
Yeah, man.
And I completely just ignored his name and thought that he was someone else. So
now, see, it's tough though.
That's
man.
Not as bad as it's the not, James
no,
Dean.
No, it's not.
As bad.
You didn't say, hey, Mr. McKean.
Yeah.
You didn't like tap him.
Yeah.
It's really quite. I think his line should be bigger, man. I really do.
Yeah.
But maybe it's just because the amount of like mainstream work, he hasn't done a lot of mainstream work because he's right next to he was right next to Bendis, and it's like,
yeah.
But Bendis wasn't there. So he was basically the only one at that sort of square.
Bendis was there for like...
I mean, at that time, when we were there.
Yeah.
But
oh, my God, and everyone came over to Bendis.
Yeah, except for me. I don't know why.
Yeah, I didn't go... What do you... You know what?
It's the same reason why no one talks to me at the table, because I'm a writer. I don't know.
I was just about to say, what would you talk to a writer about? But they'd probably be much more likely to speak to you.
Because they talked about the story and...
Yeah, you know, than... Than the artist.
It's better to talk to the writer, actually.
Because
even when I went to that Supergirl in Adventures in 8th grade, I would talk to them in New York, and the writer was like all about talking to me, but then the artist was like busy doing sketches.
Yeah, you know?
I mean, nothing against the artist. He had stuff to do.
No,
But the writer didn't have anything to do, so the writer was all about talking.
Yeah.
And that's what I find always like pretty entertaining.
Yeah, exactly.
It's like when you're at the table... And it's like, well, if you have the writer and the artist combo, the artist can blatantly put stuff on the table for you to check out. What's the writer going to do? I'm gonna put some words. I'll write in front of you.
Yeah, you know,
I'll write in front of you.
I wondered that too. How you know, Marvel said that they weren't accepting submissions. I think that started last year, and they had like a definitive date, and they just stopped accepting submissions from writers or artists. But I started thinking, okay, so the artist submits the first day of the con.
Yeah,
and then Marvel goes over and posts a list of people they want to talk to. You meet, and then you might have a contract worked out by the end of the con, you know?
Yeah.
What the hell does a writer do? Like...
The writer, I guess, would be involved in the pitching.
Do you just pitch ideas? Is that what a writer would do to...
I have no idea how any of that submission stuff works because I've never done that before.
No,
I guess he would do anything.
I just realized now what you said that I didn't even know that they had a list that you come back the next day and check it out. I'm like, what is all this business?
I don't think it was at Baltimore, but
I have no idea how any of that.
But
works.
But I read sometimes, and they say that.
It's like, can you write me a poem? What about that? Like, dude, it'd be cool if they did something like that.
Yeah, you know, I actually was talking to the creator of the Zuda.com. Comic High Moon that has one of the longest runs on Zuda.
I think that was the first ever winner of Zuda.
Yeah. Oh, I think Bayou might have been.
I'm not sure. That's one thing that I'm so afraid of
at going to conventions and mispronouncing names.
Yeah.
Because I mispronounce names like all the time. I mispronounce like even my own
name. Actually, then
sometime.
The best thing to do is to ask someone. Be like,
ask the
So, just be like, I've only seen this like visually written. Is this Bayou or Bayou? Or and then they'll tell you.
Ask the unassuming Asian man how to pronounce James Jean.
Or you can be like, hey, when's James Jean gonna get here?
Yeah,
is he gonna arrive anytime soon?
Yeah,
but like names.
So you went
like,
to the Zuda booth.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Whoops. Yeah. Sorry. wow. It's fun to hear your own voice sometimes.
Just like, ooh,
so I'm
hello.
Getting carried away. The Zuda booth, and was talking to the artist because through a friend, she might have dated him or something, but she knew him apparently. So that entitled us to go up and bother him. for longer amounts of time.
Yeah.
Than,
and he's like, just what I always wanted, my ex-girlfriend so-and-so to be talking to.
Exactly. Yeah.
My ex-girlfriend's you're like taping up your fist and
co-workers.
Shit. Oh, I heard you did this, buddy.
No, no, no.
You're like, I don't care about your book.
Yeah.
It's time for a receipt.
Don't worry, co-worker. But yeah, so she dragged us to that table and, you know, we're talking. And then, I don't know if you guys feel this way at cons, but if you're talking to the guy for longer than 20 minutes, you gotta buy something. Like, you just...
Oh.
You don't feel that way?
Or, like, I feel...
I hope someone feels that way towards us, because a lot of people like to talk to us. I like to talk to them.
I feel like there's a time limit. Like,
yeah.
I'd like to say...
5 minutes is free, and then...
Well, like, okay, you know, I don't mind talking to someone for 5 minutes. Like, if they
do
walk
you know
away,
how
if
long
they walk
5 minutes is?
It's not
it's
that
long.
Long.
That's a long
well,
time,
Well, it's
though,
long, but in a way, it's... Well, anyway. Mm. But anyway, so 5 minutes, you know, if you walk away, I'm not gonna... You know, I'm just gonna be like, okay, bye.
Yeah.
But if you talk to... there's been times where I've talked to people for, like, way too long.
Yeah. And they haven't bought it.
Yeah.
Bought.
Yeah, I don't like taking business away from people.
Yeah,
like,
you know?
I don't like it... I don't like if I'm there talking to a person and people like come up to me or they, you know, they're looking at stuff too. I don't like to get out in their way.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah, you know, like I felt awkward at your guys' table talking for too long, you know, because I didn't want to.
You weren't really there for that long. But I mean, there's sometimes when people are there for a long time and I start to wonder in my head if they know how long that they've been there.
Yeah.
I mean, are we just so talkative? Like, sometimes I just sit down and I'm just like laying back.
Well, you do.
No one really likes to talk to me, actually.
You do have a radio show.
But then it's like you kind of.
I mean, this is the reason
but
we
it's
don't
like,
like to put it
but
in
But also,
the show.
You can't just be like. You can't just not talk to them because you still want to make the sale.
Exactly. I still want to figure out how to have people call in during this time.
We just
see one input.
Yeah.
Actually, the worst was. Sorry to interrupt, but I have a story about the Handmade Mart.
Story time.
And it was one of those. It wasn't like a typical convention, but we had our own like 10x10.
This is the one in Bethesda, right?
No, it was in Silver Spring, Maryland.
Silver Spring?
Okay.
And we had a 10x10 tent, and it was more of like a craft
fair.
This
is the one that was outside?
Yeah, it was outside. Yeah. It was a craft fair type artist display. They had all types of things like pottery, and somebody had handmade soaps, and we had comics, and you know, there was all sorts of anything artsy that you could get, which is, I personally like that. Like, it's a good to break from the comic conventions every once in a while and introduce
it's
new
probably
things.
A lot better for indie comics, too.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So, you know, we're there. This girl comes up, starts chatting with us. I always thought that she was going to get something, but, you know, to get to the end of the story, she didn't never buy anything, but she was at our table for how long would you say, Joe?
What?
It was a long time.
It was
I felt like we were babysitting her.
It was literally from like, she was literally there for like 3 hours. She would stop and like come back.
Wow.
Stop and come back. Nothing against her. Like totally nothing against her. But like, I don't even remember the question. She was like asking us all types of.
I think she wanted to be an artist, but she kept asking questions. And then she was like, yeah, I want to do this, but I don't do it. And like, it was, she didn't have any artwork to show and. It's like she wanted to be an artist, but wasn't.
There was a show that I actually enjoyed because it was a short amount of talkative, but it was during, it was what, like it was, remember it was right after this year's New York Comic Con, like a day. Didn't we have to do a show like a day after New York Comic Con and we went to that fashion showcase
it was
or something?
It was at a school
in
Alexandria.
Like, and like they were, they had that he's not gay, or is he gay? That black
I
dude
have no
from
idea. The guy from the CW, Paul Warden.
You know what I'm talking about?
He was like he was like judging for America's Next Top Model or something. And he's also a model. Like the skinny black dude.
You ever watch CW like around here and they have that black guy that's there?
Gossip Girls.
But you know, but you know, like in the local commercials. Gossip Girl's good, man.
Yeah.
But well, I'm more Supernatural.
Anyway, but basically
or Smallville.
He's basically like a black model.
But basically, so he was like the lead guest there. But we had, for at least that, it was cool because a bunch of kids were coming up and being like, oh, wow, like, I want to draw too. Yeah. And you can do all this. It's cool because.
Did the kids have money?
parents didn't even have money.
Yeah. No friends.
See, that's the one thing I always find weird is that, like, whenever I tell people, I guess part of the film industry or some people that are part of the film industry I'm doing that I do comics.
Yeah.
And then I tell them like, yeah, man, I just hope people that like buy, you know, I really want people to buy the books. And like, they always tell me like, oh, so you're just doing it for the money, right? And it makes me sort of wonder. I'm like, well,
what else are you supposed to?
I'm trying to do this to make a living. Wouldn't it be great to make comics for a living? You know.
Well, you know, there's I run into this with people at work all the time. They'll be talking to me about people who make comic strips and stuff like that. I've got one guy who's a big comic strip guy who
like strips like
like
in the newspaper or online.
You know, and it's like the
Kathy.
Charlie Brown's Kathy.
Like Kathy.
Yeah. Yeah, that
everyone always makes fun of.
Your voice is very soothing on the radio, Matt.
everyone always makes fun of Kathy, and I just took a cheap shot at Kathy, but still I don't have anything against it.
So people
it is what it is. It's Kathy.
Yeah, so there's people who are fans of comic strips like in your work and they're I love Kathy. What is the premise of Kathy again?
It's just like a girl.
Isn't she
who,
a depressing woman?
Well, now she got married like last year.
What?
And in real life, the actual the female Kathy cartoonist got married. So now she has a husband. So now her life. But she basically talks about how her struggles with weight and men and eating chocolate.
Oh, so it's like an SPX style comic.
She actually got married to Ziggy. So
who's Ziggy?
You've
what?
Never seen Ziggy's like a depressing.
Oh, it's like the other the
he's
equivalent.
Like, he's
to
like
her.
A little bald guy with a big nose, and he wears a shirt that just comes to his knees. But they don't really care because the anatomy on the guy isn't very well done. But yeah, so
like people at your work, they're like, I love comic strips.
They're like, I like apartment 3G.
And the Leggetts is next. Well, it's not really a strip, but well,
it could
is,
be if you well, want it to well, there's, be. There's,
yeah, exactly.
You
because
wanna,
I
was going you want it to print.
I see it in. Yeah, I see it in. Yeah, exactly.
There's gonna be a strip in it.
Yeah, a different type of strip.
Yeah.
That just there was like innuendo involved. You guys both looked at me. I thought I was gonna be
it was
ambushed
all different.
Or something.
There's stripping involved in the Leggetts.
So,
so basically,
there is a guy at work. Who likes strips, right?
Yeah.
And he's all, you know, I'll show him some artists or something like that. And, you know, mainly comic book artists because that's what I like. And
yeah.
Who cares what other people like? And so I'll show him, you know, something or an artist's work or say they got a video game or something like that.
Yeah.
And he'll be like, wow, I wonder how much that guy makes. And that's when... That's when you start to think, okay, then you're doing it for the money. You know, because here's what I was telling him is, and this is the way that I've thought about it, and this is probably because I haven't paid the printing costs of the book that that I'm trying to develop right now.
Yeah.
But it's, you know, you do it because you like to do it, because you love to do it, because you got a passion for it, and then the money will take care of itself, or you'll just stop doing it, you know?
Yeah.
It's like if you care this much that you like it so much and it's so fun for you to do that you just absolutely have to share it with the rest of the world or, you know, anyone that'll just listen or read or pay attention to your comic, your movie, your words, then that stuff will take care of itself in the end, you know?
And I feel, again, like I always bring this up, it's like also it's a consistency. It's like you gotta... For people to catch on, you can't just make one book.
Right. Yeah.
You gotta.
Exactly.
You know, it has to be like you gotta have something for people to look forward to.
You know. Yeah. And what I was thinking too is, whether it's quantity or quality, people will start respecting. You know, people are gonna respect quality immediately.
Yeah.
But quantity will come in time where you've produced so much that you just can't be looked over. You know, it's just.
And I feel that like even like a lot of people. Still look down on the comic book art in a way.
Yeah.
They never think about it as like you think about like a whole book and they produce, you know, you make one book and like a normal Joe Blow out there will look at it and be like, oh, that's just you just did one book.
Exactly.
And then you fail to realize and then they look at a guy who does a painting, and they're like, oh, he did this awesome one painting. But then you look at it like, well, there's like a million panels in there. So there's like a million pieces of work. How
a million
we don't respect-
paintings in this one book.
Yeah. You know.
But they never take it to that level. Like a normal person will just be like, oh, it's just a bunch of kid stuff there.
Exactly.
Even
though
how many times people today will say like, oh, comics are for more mature people now. And it's like, well, superheroes. People are looking at superheroes now, but still, like the other stuff isn't like booming.
Well, you know, and that's what I do is when I tell them, you know, where I was over the weekend. I was at the Comic-Con. I've got a lot of frat boy type friends and stuff like that, you know? Yeah. And when you're saying that, you know, there's some scoffing going on. But then you obviously bring up, okay, well, you know, The Dark Knight's a comic book.
Yeah.
You know, Iron Man's a comic book, right? And they know those are.
Yeah.
But then you bring up something like, what about Road to Perdition?
Yeah.
What about History of Violence?
Yeah.
You know, these ones are also comic books. And...
Well, I guess technically they would call that a graphic novel, yeah, whatever the words they wanted to.
That's the popular term now, but you know,
I hate that. I don't hate the term, but I just feel like it gets thrown around.
You know what term I really dislike nowadays? Young professionals.
Young professionals. Well, it's better than yuppie, though.
I guess
the young urban professional.
Wait, tell me about this young professional term.
I don't know.
I don't think they'd use that in my.
I've seen all these organizations just use that term recently.
You know, so when does young stop? You know?
I think it's like out. For people
exactly.
Like
so what happens.
35 and under, they're like young professionals. But then it's like, first of all, A, why would you not be a professional?
Yeah.
And B, why would you not be young?
Yeah.
So I don't
and I'm
like
sorry,
that term.
Like 35 and under? No. No, I'm not going to do it. I'm not. My
they
sister
even have, they
is
even
35.
Have a, they have an organization called Young Professionals of DC or something like that too.
See, and I'd expect DC.
And
to
it's
have
like it's like a
that.
Networking type thing, and
there's a lot of
they're like come to our happy hour. Blah, blah,
yeah,
blah.
You know, like I don't know, like this area has a lot of how do you even say it? Like
losers?
Yeah, like
I'm sorry,
people.
Ouch.
You know what? I'm just gonna go with douchebag and forgive my language.
And why would you say
there are?
You gotta be honest. As long as you're honest.
There are people out there who can barely afford their car payment, right? And of course, it's you know the new Nissan Z or it's the G35 Infiniti or it's a BMW or something like that. They can't afford their car payment. They're going into debt buying drinks. You know, it's
see. I always found that like really annoying. It's like when people,
it's all about the facade.
Yeah.
You know?
I'd rather let my work stand for itself. It's like, why isn't Joe coming out to the social and like social thing? I'm like, well, one
why
thing.
Why weren't you at the young professionals meeting?
And I'm like, well, for one thing.
We had cocktails.
It's like, yeah, for one thing, like, I don't do the social thing. I let my work make a statement for itself. Yeah. You know what I mean? As opposed to like, this guy was yelling at me on the message board. I was like, well, I'm just going to make a film about it. Or I'm going to make a story about it. You know? Yeah.
You know, and I think that's also...
Wait, did you say there's a term? Like, what, there's now people, there's a lot of, like, social networking professional or something like that?
Oh, no.
Is that even real?
Social media expert.
What is that? Yeah. Is that bullshit? That sounds like bullshit.
It does to me. But a lot of people I've realized have all of a sudden become social media experts.
Like, they can, like, master Facebook or something
like
that?
Or social media professionals, and they... yeah, I don't get what it means, because, like, you know, if... the modern day people, you can learn Twitter, Facebook, and all that janks.
Dude,
and
like
basically anyone is a social media expert.
Anyone who uses it should be.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Although I you know, sometimes I'm like, so how do I add a photo to this album?
But how do you make money off of that if they're a professional?
Because what happens is like a company, let's say, let's like name a company.
Nextel.
Like Nextel.
Why did I say Nextel?
No, seriously, Nextel.
Mantech has that.
Nextel probably has, I don't know for sure, but they probably have at least one or two people that they're solely dedicated to maintaining the MySpace, the Facebook, the Twitter, and all the janks.
I would say they've got,
let's just say at least one.
To tell you the truth, I was trying to contact J. Scott Campbell on MySpace, right?
No one uses MySpace.
And I was like, I was trying to log in, like I went to the login, and I totally don't know my password to my MySpace anymore. No. I tried it. I don't even know how to get in.
Unless you're a band, you don't use MySpace.
I'm thinking about deleting my MySpace account, but then I'm like, well, I already have a lot invested in it.
But you still know how to get in. I don't know how to get in anymore.
Don't you have that password recovery thing where they say, forgot your password?
Yeah,
question mark.
I can always do that. I guess I should have just done that.
The easy way.
Yeah, instead of being like, I gotta keep typing in this shit.
You know, I don't use my MySpace anymore, and I've thought about deleting it, but then I think about, but what if someone posts a picture there that I want to look at? And you've got to be friends with that person.
It's like,
you know? So
I never even go on there. The most my MySpace extent now is like hardly doing anything. Like if I have some type of blog I wrote, like I will do a quick, what's it called? When you just post some message. No.
Bulletin?
Bulletin. They do bulletins. Bulletin. Yeah, that's right. I will do a quick bulletin and,
the world
and,
is
copy
now.
And copy and paste it into the bulletin, press send, and get out of MySpace as quick as possible.
Isn't that what everything is now? Just a whole giant bulletin? Internet is just a giant bulletin board.
You know,
bulletin
I don't even board. Do Facebook anymore. Now that I found Twitter, which expedites the Facebook process by tenfold, you know, it's just, it's so much faster that there's no reason for me to go on Facebook. And granted, there's only about probably 1/10 of my friends are on Twitter.
Yeah.
And I feel no need to go on Facebook, you know? And
I don't even write full messages on Facebook anymore. Yeah.
Ever since I started, they started doing all that mini feed stuff and you didn't see your friends' profile pictures updated.
Yeah.
Like, I couldn't.
You know what I don't get on Facebook? Like, a few people's statuses and all their info, like, automatically pops up. But they're, like, the people that I never really click on. And I'm like, why are these people, like, their main highlight on my thing?
Because
I'm like,
everyone else has blocked it. I block my updates on Facebook.
What do you mean?
You can block updates on Facebook?
Yeah. I know like, that, man. It says, like, do you want your stuff published to the mini feed or something? It's all in your privacies. I am actually a social media expert. Did I tell you about that time I hung out with Pharrell?
No, that was awesome, man. Yeah. All right. Did I tell you about that one time we hung out in Bow Wow's van. Did I tell you about that?
That sounds really creepy, Joe, because it sounds like you were driving the van.
Oh, well, technically.
Actually, I hung out in Lil Bow Wow's van, too.
Like, we were...
you guys are both creepers.
We were actually producing a video for the driver.
Wait, are you serious?
Yeah, I'm serious.
Wow. This is 100% authentic.
This is 100%
lie. This was like sophomore year of college or of VCU.
Yeah.
And, you know, a guy walks into the class and says, like, hey, I need a guy to do a video.
This is an awful joke, by the way.
It's not a joke.
Guy walks into a bar, what?
No, but really, like, this black dude comes in and says, like,
it's gotta be
he
black.
Was black.
Yeah, he's like, I'm a driver for a guy that's, you know, that's performing tonight, but I want to shoot, like, an audition. Yeah. I need someone to shoot an audition. No one raised their hand, so I was like, fuck it, I'll do it, right? Where three of us chose to do it.
Yeah.
And then, so then I meet up with him, and then he's like, so I was like, who you drive for? I'm driving for Bow Wow tonight.
Bow Wow is black also.
Yeah. He was on Entourage as well.
I think he's green.
But basically what happened is like, so yeah, we were just driving around in Bow Wow's van, like at the night. And that's the extent of that story.
Were you with Bow Wow?
No, because it was like the in-between.
What was the audition?
He was trying to shoot footage of him so he can send it off. To give to Bow Wow's
the driver
people. Yeah, the driver of that. So we were still driving in Bow Wow's van.
So
in between
wait,
that
the driver was someone hired in Richmond.
Yeah.
I have news about Bethesda.
What, there's news in Bethesda?
Let's hear
yes
Bethesda.
Apparently Bethesda is the second smartest and more than the average number of residents earn six figures.
Woohoo.
Hey, so Moscow has the largest number of billionaires per capita.
Wow. Moscow?
Moscow. Not Moscow, Idaho. Oh. Moscow, Russia.
Apparently
Russia?
Also Canada? Also Canada? Bethesda, Maryland, according to this, has the hottest guys in the country.
What?
I don't know. I don't know what this is all about, but it's on Twitter now.
Everything can be on.
And who tweeted that?
It's on NBC Washington.
NBC Washington is tweeting about hottest men.
It's hottest guys call Bethesda home. That's the headline.
I don't know how.
Headlines now.
TotalBeauty.com ranked Bethesda the number one city in the country for finding hot guys.
Look at that dude. He's not hot at all.
But you want to know why? Do you remember my first fact that I just said? Six figures or more?
Yeah, that's right. Yeah.
Six figures or more. So,
sense.
You know, like exactly. Automatically that's like, oh, that's where the hot guys are.
Yeah.
Hey, yes. I guess.
No, I'm doing that from like that type of perspective.
Of course.
Tell me your experience. Since this year's Baltimore Comic Con, Matt, was the first time you were behind the table.
Yeah.
Tell me about your experience of that.
What were you
expecting, and then how was the actual?
You know what? I don't know what I was expecting. I think I was pretty
you
much
were excited though, or were you?
I
not?
Was. I was very excited because the 2-day pass cost $10.
And you had a lot of people behind that table too.
Yeah, we had three people. You're supposed to have two. I found a chair right next. Exactly.
I'm gonna tell on you.
I know. Don't tell James Jean. There were.
I'm gonna call James Jean out right now. James Jean, I dare you to come by 2010. 2010, James Jean will be there, and he'll be showing his new book.
So let's see. I want to look up his site to see if
it's pretty amazing.
But so you're back there.
If he's even doing a tour though.
I don't think he is. He's doing like Germany and the UK and stuff like that.
See, look what you did. Yeah.
That would be equivalent. Like,
now he's
you
not
meeting,
even American.
You
anymore.
Meeting up with James Jean would be equivalent to me meeting up with Rob Liefeld about drawing the hand.
You know, and I was upset that when we tweeted to him, we didn't get a reply.
He didn't get a reply. That means I think he's upset. I retweeted him the image too.
Yeah, I know. I don't think that he appreciated it, even though he made the joke.
What if he just feels bad for not actually taking part when he sees everyone else?
Because,
especially the guy who sat
Will
next
Sportatio?
To him.
Yeah.
Yeah. He did a good one, too.
That was great. Yeah.
Man, James Jean's website has like a whole like resume and stuff.
His is so clean. It's absolutely the cleanest website ever.
Like
James Jean has a resume ready for
this. This is what I noticed. Nothing against Rob, but maybe in his defense.
Yeah. He like was kind of a dick.
Well, when I don't know how to. It's weird.
Yeah.
It was a weird situation, but when I tweeted him like the link to it.
Yeah.
Immediately after he showed full drawings. He posted like full drawings that he did.
Huh.
But I don't know, man. It's not like I'm ever gonna talk to him again.
You know what? And I thought that he was really cool about it. Whatever. You know.
You win some, you lose some. You know what I mean?
Exactly. Yeah, I thought this con was by far the most fun I'd had. And granted, this is only my third con, and they've all been Baltimore. Last year, I just really did not have a fun time.
You met Kenneth Rockefeller.
Wait, which one? The 2008?
2008.
You didn't have fun?
I didn't even know that you went 2007 either.
Yeah.
I don't remember.
I saw you at your table.
Maybe it's because it's such a long time ago.
Jackass.
What? Well, did I get you on film? I had to get you on film.
Yeah, you actually did.
All right.
That was
my fault then.
That was the Jim Lee year. I refused to admit last year was because I do not believe it was.
Jim Lee was there last year, though. He was set up outside.
So he was the guest of honor last year.
I don't know. Could have been.
I can't even remember.
Because 2007, I got stuff signed.
Yeah.
And then 2008, I don't even remember any... Adam Hughes, I remember.
Ah, right on.
That's about it though.
Wait, and 2000... then Kenneth.
Yeah. We need to talk about Halloween somehow. It's this weekend.
Oh yeah.
There's nothing really to talk about.
Well, I don't know, man. Because
and what
like,
are you doing?
I don't know what in high school or in college, Matt. What did you do for Halloween? What did you usually do?
Actually, through college, I had a running costume. Which
really?
I started in 2004. 2003. Yeah, 2003. My first junior year. And that was Saturday Night Live's Mr. Peepers.
What?
Oh. Yeah,
the little monkey
yes,
boy.
Yes. And he can you eat an apple like so that?
I would eat the apples and spit them on people.
And you walked around awesome. You walked around in the cold.
I'm such
that?
A Chris Kattan yeah, exactly. fan. That's awesome.
Yeah. Yeah, it was is back then I was really health conscious and worked out all the time, and it was it really resembled it was like if he and The Rock when The Rock dressed up like him.
Yeah,
it's like they had a child.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
If they had a child.
If they had a child, it would have been me. Yeah.
Wow. That's cool.
It was a lot of fun because I would stay in character no matter what, and I'd walk around with a sack of apples, and I'd even get into bars and stuff with these apples because it's Halloween and you know everyone's got props.
Yeah.
And I just eat these apples and spit them all on people and then hump anything, you know.
Did you ever get like anyone ever become confrontational with you doing that?
No.
So I figured that you'd still be able to stand on your own if you were, but like I feel that if you spit apples at people like Carlito, people might be like, what the fuck, man?
You know, I didn't. Everyone would just laugh and I went as all the way through 2006. Somehow it was four Halloween.
I wonder if you were to do it now to be Mr. Peepers, if people would even remember.
Well, you know,
like
I
mean, I there
doubt,
are certain
I
people
doubt.
That would, but then it's so irrelevant right now. So
the
it's
younger
like, oh.
people and stuff probably yeah. wouldn't get it. But you know, you were talking about people getting upset. I got kicked out of a bar in New York of all places. You know, if you can make it there, you can make it anywhere.
You can make it anywhere.
Got kicked out of a bar there because, not because I was messing with patrons, but the patrons weren't buying any alcohol. The manager comes out. He says that he tells my friend that he says, I quote, your buddy's gotta go, right?
he's gotta go.
And this is, you know, while I'm humping man, woman, and child. Hopefully, child wasn't at the bar.
Wait, so how frequently did you actually hump, like, people?
I would, and by hump, I mean I might jump on their back for a piggyback and just be like,
so you weren't, you know, like, as violent as the actual character, or were you?
No, like, however you can imagine the character. That's what I was in character.
So you were, it was because that's pretty violent, yeah. Chris Kattan was doing all that.
You know, and of course I always had a buddy next to me.
I remember Chris Kattan would always sometimes lose his ear.
Did you have the ears?
Yeah, oh yeah. That's all you would need is the ears, red shorts, red suspenders, and you're good to go. Because I've got dark hair anyways, you know? I'd use flip-flops and everything. But yeah, the manager says, you gotta go. Get your buddy out of here. And he asks, why do we have to leave? And the manager's like, no one in my bar is buying anything. They're just paying attention to your little friend.
Oh, man. So and, you're taking the spotlight away from drinking. Yeah.
Because that's a compliment.
I thought so, too. Like, I would crawl on top of the bar. Not stand on top of it. Crawl on top of it. And
to your little friend.
And just, like, spit apples on the bartender. And, you know, he and she, it was two bartenders. They would, no pun intended, eat it up. But but they just had a great time. And then the manager comes and spoils everyone's fun. Yeah. So,
did anyone ever film any of this?
I've got a lot of photos.
Yeah.
I've got a lot of photos. But I'd just like to say to, I believe it is 3rd and Long in New York, you will not see me again. And I just looked at the microphone when I said it. But
never again.
But yeah, never again.
I remember that was that one time in high school that... I guess was it Tish and Rourke that were really obsessed with Tom Green, and just filming Tom Green stuff.
Yeah, Tish and Monk.
Tish
Brian Monk. Yeah,
they were like the best friends, man.
Yeah, it was very strange. But so Halloween, are you guys doing anything? Well, are you guys going?
I always feel that like they're like every year I want Halloween. I'm always more excited about what could happen on Halloween because I really like. For spooky things to happen.
What could happen on Halloween?
I don't know, man, but I hope that, like, I know, like, for the past 2 years or 3 years, at least, I know on Sci-Fi Channel, though, we always had, like, that Ghost Hunters, and it'll be live.
Oh.
And okay. I always thought that was cool.
Yeah.
And they always had, like, a wrestler that was with them.
Oh, okay.
Because they were, like, you know, they were joining up with them, and, like, the first year was CM Punk, so it was like CM Punk ghost hunting with the Ghost Hunters for 6 hours, right?
And the next year was finding like, a damn thing.
Yeah, and then the next you never know though, man. That's the thing, but that's what's so compelling about the show.
So okay,
do you watch the show though?
No, run me through Ghost Hunters. Like what's the craziest shit that they've ever found?
I don't really know.
But say like a candlestick tipped over. Or something.
It's more like. You know, you see shadows, they tempt like the ghosts to like make something
show
move
yourself.
Or something like that, or there's like a shine. You know, it's just that
but
anticipation.
Wasn't one Halloween, one of them was wearing a backpack, and you know that little
like someone
strap
pulls
on the backpack,
backpack
was pulled, and then they like, but then there was no hand pulling it or anything, but he saw the backpack move.
I like that it was live and stuff. Like, but it's even better when you mix in the wrestlers, and their experience, because now it's like CM Punk is there, and you, like, and also they interact live.
It's
with
someone you can relate to a little bit,
and also like, so they have it set up on the website that people can type messages to them. And say like, oh, there's something behind you.
Yeah.
And then they'll be like, what? You know, like something like that. So it's like seeing CM Punk or Elijah Burke or Matt Hardy react to that. I always thought that was like really cool. So that was always a nice thing.
They should put Jeff Hardy on there. See how often he reacts.
See me. Jeff Hardy. Poor Jeff.
What's up with Jeff now?
I don't know.
Did you say he cut his hair or something? Like
I heard that he cut his hair.
Like all of it?
Nah, probably not.
Is he still WWE?
No, he left and then got in trouble.
Well, I know.
Like immediately.
I know
got in trouble.
So what's up with his reality show?
I don't know, man.
Direct from jail?
I don't really pay attention to Jeff Hardy as much.
Wow.
to me, if like you're not really like, if you're not producing stuff, like that's what I never like understood. Everyone's all like following Britney or following these people that are not producing new work.
Whoa. Britney is producing
new work. But this was during a time where she wasn't producing.
Yeah. Circus?
Like if she did, if she didn't produce that, remember there's like 2 years where she didn't produce shit.
Yeah.
And then people are like, we gotta follow her.
She's like, I produced Cutting My Hair Off.
Yeah. And I was like, well, she doesn't.
I had a baby.
She didn't release a new album or something like that.
That
so
is
like,
true.
Wait, so musician, what were you going to say about Circus?
You love Circus?
It's a guilty pleasure.
Is it? I haven't heard it.
You have the album?
I know the video was nice.
I do. I've got the album for that, and then Lady Gaga also. And that is, I like music. I'm a big fan of music and what it's done for America. And those are two albums that...
I always want to try to check out the Circus album, but then I don't want to buy it.
It's
like, I'm like, I'm interested, but I don't know if I want to put my whole foot down on it.
So did you already buy like the early Britney albums, or is this something that you know, there was a time when we were supposed to meet Britney. You remember that time?
Oh, yeah.
You remember that moment? Someone backed out, though.
I was actually supposed to marry her. this was when I turned 21.
Man, too bad that other guy got it first. Yeah. That guy from, where's she from, Alabama or something?
A bunch of other guys got it first. Oh, marriage. Yeah, marriage.
You know,
yeah.
That guy that she married in Vegas, her high school
Jason
buddy.
Alexander.
Jason Alexander, what?
That was his name.
That is his name, and I can't believe you know that.
Jason Alexander?
Yeah.
Wait.
Well,
it was like her childhood friend from like,
I thought they like
Alabama or
did
something.
They go to the prom together or something like that?
Yeah,
or
something like that, yeah.
And then they went to Vegas and got hitched.
And then got married and then had it annulled within like 48 hours.
But do you remember what I was talking about? Where like, we were supposed to like try to see her at one point, you like know, at Macy's or whatever? This is before she was like big?
This is what I...
Teach backed out. That's what happened.
I definitely remember you drawing her exceptionally well from the album cover of...
And this was before she was even big.
One more time.
And this was before she was even like a name.
Yeah, this was our your senior year, my junior year. So this was 2000. Yeah.
No, it must have been before that.
Yeah, because she was pretty big then.
I think it was that summer of 99 is where she became big.
Yeah,
so it must have been like 98 or
that
something.
That was
like
that. Oops, I Did It Again, I think.
Yeah,
yeah, you know.
That was through the circle 1998, you know.
I will not lie. I bought those albums. I stopped
buying. That's cool. I just... You know, I just wouldn't expect it, but that's fine.
You know, here's the thing. I bought the one with Slave for You on it, and I didn't buy the other ones, but I kept up with them. And you know, I have Stronger on my iPod. You know, I've got From the Bottom of My Broken Heart.
See, I don't know if you should have that.
You know, yeah. I've got some pretty.
You're like, I'm a Britney fan.
Yeah, you know, but. You know, hypothetically speaking, I like to download albums.
Yeah.
And then, again, hypothetically speaking, if I did this, I would like to send people links to these albums so they can download them
for free
off of a site.
Yeah.
That hypothetically speaking would be mine.
If it really happened.
But it doesn't.
Yeah.
But yeah, also I like to design like a little interface that that they can go through and like see images of it
hypothetically
download from there.
Hypothetically
it would be fedoruh.com/albums.html.
yes,
but hypothetically it wouldn't
hypothetically
be
that's not is
but
that
yeah so that was one
that's
of
not
them.
Actually linked up to your hypothetical website.
Hypothetically it's not on my server.
All right.
But it is so I downloaded that at first for the mass audience that might want to
hypothetically download it without people
hypothetically
knowing that I
did it. Or pathetically. So at first it was for other people, and it gave me an excuse to download it myself.
Because now you're hypothetically doing a service to everybody.
Hypothetically, I've got an iPod that hypothetically likes to have music on it.
Yeah.
So I listened to it, and you know, it's not like... It's not like Fighters or something, or Fleet Foxes, or you know, some band that you know has great lyrics or great music, but it's a catchy little.
You talking about Circus?
Yeah, Circus.
Yeah, I like the Circus song.
Yeah, you know, and what is it? If You Seek Amy, which I'm a big fan of, plays on words, and F-U-C-K me, I guess is what it's doing there. But I love that. I think there's something about that that's just great. Yeah, so yeah, I listen to that, and then the Lady Gaga one has a lot more validity to it.
Yeah, have you heard the Lady Gaga sort of solo? Sort it's not acoustic, but it's just her on the piano.
The Poker Face one.
Yeah, that's like yeah. She does. That's I think I'm a fan she of that can, stuff.
Yeah, and I saw her on SNL.
I have to see that. I haven't seen that
she
SNL performance.
She did this little
yet.
Like jazz performance where it was kind of off the cusp, and it was just. It was great. Like, I am very patriotic. My favorite hero is Captain America. and to hear when, like, New York, I think, is one hell of an American town.
Yeah.
You know, it's just, like, the epitome of America. A melting pot. You know, that that American dream is still there. You know, and to hear her talk about New York and her experiences growing up there.
Yeah.
That.
Because she's cool. New York all the way.
Yeah. You know, for some reason, I thought she was from the UK. I have no idea why.
She just has that look.
she has like a sophisticated art music.
Yeah, exactly. It can't be American.
Yeah. They never. They couldn't have made that here.
Yeah.
Same place where they made Amy Winehouse and all that.
Exactly. You know. So no, I thought that was really cool what she did on SNL.
But I really enjoyed like the piano the solo performance stuff. I thought because that was a way for her to showcase that. For people who haven't heard her sing, that she can nail them.
She
you know?
Can hit some chords
and perform at the same time. You know,
yeah, and she can play the hell out of the piano. You know, it's pretty neat to see an artist like that. I can't really recall anyone like that, but Alicia Keys, who also at the VMAs this year.
Did you watch the VMAs this year?
I did.
So
and,
I watched it too.
I saw Pink. Perform upside down on those wires.
See, and that's like complete gimmick to me. You
because
know?
Like when she fell, it was all slowly, so it wasn't like a real risk.
Yeah,
I was like, oh, it's just not
like Lady Gaga's performance to me was awesome. Like that paparazzi thing was perfect, and then at the end, you know, where I was talking about Alicia Keys,
her doing the with the Jay-Z.
What a voice! Yeah, and then she can play piano too.
Yeah,
you know?
I mean she's a producer as well.
Yeah,
like I really appreciate musicians that are like musicians.
Exactly.
You know? Where you can tell they're doing it because they love music. Yeah. But of course they get money off of it.
Yeah.
But it's also like, well, if you're working so hard, you might as well if you devote so much of your life, you have to
also make someone money off with a background like her. She entered Columbia at 16.
Yeah.
You know. That's Columbia's Ivy League, you know.
Yeah.
And then 2 weeks later she was out of Columbia because she wanted to pursue her career.
Or maybe she was just done. She was like, yeah, I already passed.
Yeah, she graduated from Columbia 2 weeks later. But you know, that stuff's impressive to me.
Yeah.
That's cool, yeah.
And that's
what was she originally going to study?
I'm pretty sure it was something to do with music.
Okay.
You know. It's not like she was like U.S. history, and you know, if this teaching thing doesn't work out, then I'll fall back on music, you know. But
so basically, yeah. So every year at Halloween, I was sort of, you know, I wish there was something spooky to happen. Usually, yeah. I spend the whole October like watching like Supernatural to get in the mood of it. Halloween.
How about this one? Some kid last week, not today, but last week. Hops in some balloon or something.
I don't even know what's going on. I saw it on Twitter or something.
Yeah.
I don't even know what was going on, but I didn't really bother to research it. But then somebody said that he was just at home the whole time.
Yeah, something like that. I don't know.
So it was false?
It's a bubble boy or something about a... Well, I don't know.
It's some balloon thing that some
balloon
kid
boy.
Made that... This device can go up to 10,000 feet, and it's flying all over Denver, and now the... FBI is trying to buy the military so that they can shoot it down with hypothetical missiles.
I think we have found our very first supervillain.
Yeah,
that is what exactly is happening.
Let's try to see exactly what
it's
this
Syndicate
is.
From The Incredibles.
Okay, yeah. It says hoax. Balloon boy found alive in the garage. What?
I don't even know what the story was.
You know
Here, let's find out.
And
let's
he's 6 out. Years old.
Let's find out in 1 minute if I can get this to load.
Do it real fast.
A little
boy found alive,
flying,
was hiding the whole time.
You want to read this?
What?
A flying saucer-shaped helium balloon drifted away from a home in Colorado Thursday. Blah, 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 blah. Earlier fears that there was
a
6-year-old boy inside.
All right, I guess he stopped reading.
Wait, offices. Father built the saucer behind... What?
All right.
I don't even know
what the hell is even happening.
I
have no idea. But basically, I guess it was in Colorado.
I think Grey's Anatomy is on.
And then there's and then there's a boy was in the attic, and I don't know what.
All right, that was fun.
Yeah.
All right.
Sorry, I don't know.
Sorry, America. He's found alive. Yeah. I guess that's a good thing. Well, Halloween, yeah. Maybe you might dress up again, Matt. Maybe. Maybe. You never know. Well, that's this week's episode of the Carolyn and Joe Show. Matt, thanks again for being on the show, sir.
Thank you. Halloween.
It's good having you. Maybe we'll have you again in the future, sir.
Thank you. Thank you very much.
Yes, but everyone have a good night. We'll catch you later. My name is Joe.
And I'm Carolyn.
Oh, I'm Matt.
All right.
Snooch boochies.
Have a good night.
I gave you all that you can drink, and it has never been enough. I gave you blood, blood, blood.
Happy Halloween.